Task 2, a debate. You will hear a debate about issues related to first aid. The debate features three speakers and there are nine questions about what they said. Listen and decide which speaker, A, B or C, talked about the issues listed from 7 to 15. Place a cross in the appropriate box on your answer sheet. You will hear the debate twice. You have 2 minutes to read the questions before the recording starts. Speaker A.
Welcome to this debate of the importance of first aid. My name is Alice Aldinsky and I'm a hospital director. I am a staunch supporter of first aid training. In critical moments, time is of the essence and having individuals skilled in first aid can assure immediate help before a medical professional arrives. In my day-to-day job, I see overworked doctors and nurses struggling to provide optimal care and often having to make difficult choices. While we can lament this and call for increased funding, we also have to accept the reality of it. In past instances, I have observed cases where delayed medical attention led to individuals requiring invasive procedures. A prompt first aid intervention could have mitigated the severity of many of these situations. You might be surprised to hear that on an average day, over 8,000 of cardiac arrests occur worldwide. The location where these occur is also crucial. Studies show that over 90% of them happen outside of hospitals, often in residential settings, highlighting the significance of immediate aid from family members or bystanders in these situations. Thankfully, the majority of first aid scenarios are less serious, and by equipping individuals with first aid skills, we can alleviate some burden on our hospitals by preventing minor injuries from escalating into something serious.
Speaker B. Thank you. I'm Bob Buttons and I'm a GP. While I do acknowledge the importance of immediate help in critical situations, I'd like to argue that first aid is not an appropriate source of it. Unlike Alice, I do have faith in our hospitals, and I believe they are equipped to provide the best possible service to everyone, ensuring their well-being and safety. I must express my concerns about the risks associated with laypeople attempting to administer medical aid. First aid training, as it stands, falls short in inadequately preparing individuals for handling medical emergencies. These brief workshops simply cannot instill the necessary knowledge and skills required for complex medical situations. I have personally witnessed instances where individuals with limited medical experience attempted to intervene in medical emergencies and inadvertently made the situation worse. The lack of thorough assessments in first aid training can lead to ill-equipped individuals being granted a false sense of confidence in their abilities. For example, I have recently had the chance to informally observe the CPR assessment of a first aid training workshop. I counted 4 participants who demonstrated inadequate technique, but to my surprise, they all passed. I don't think I need to explain why such lax standards can be detrimental. Speaker C.
Thank you, Bob. I'm Cindy Court and I'm a counsellor. I'm not sure I'm fully on board with either of the previous speakers' opinions, but I can see that there's some truth to both arguments. I think the key to outstanding first aid provision starts with extending the training to include mental health components. Mental well-being concerns are common in various settings, particularly in schools and universities, where individuals often struggle with anxiety or depression. For example, imagine a student at a university who feels anxious about their exams. Having someone skilled in mental well-being first aid could have a profound difference. They would be able to recognise the signs and offer immediate support. This intervention could alleviate distress and prevent the situation from escalating. They could offer similar help to academics facing overwhelming stress or emotional challenges that impact their well-being and performance. By extending the first aid training provision to include mental well-being components, we can equip individuals with the knowledge and skills to be supportive in addressing a wider range of challenges. Such interventions at the early stages can make a significant impact on the well-being of those around us.
Now listen to the 3 speakers again. Speaker A.
Welcome to this debate of the importance of first aid. My name is Alice Aldinsky and I'm a hospital director. I am a staunch supporter of first aid training. In critical moments, time is of the essence, and having individuals skilled in first aid can assure immediate help before a medical professional arrives. In my day-to-day job, I see overworked doctors and nurses struggling to provide optimal care and often having to make difficult choices. While we can lament this and call for increased funding, we also have to accept the reality of it. In past instances, I have observed cases where delayed medical attention led to individuals requiring invasive procedures. A prompt first aid intervention could have mitigated the severity of many of these situations. You might be surprised to hear that on an average day, over 8,000 of cardiac arrests occur worldwide. The location where these occur is also crucial. Studies show that over 90% of them happen outside of hospitals, often in residential settings, highlighting the significance of immediate aid from family members or bystanders in these situations. Thankfully, the majority of first aid scenarios are less serious, and by equipping individuals with first aid skills, we can alleviate some burden on our hospitals by preventing minor injuries from escalating into something serious.
Speaker B. Thank you. I'm Bob Buttons and I'm a GP. While I do acknowledge the importance of immediate help in critical situations, I'd like to argue that first aid is not an appropriate source of it. Unlike Alice, I do have faith in our hospitals, and I believe they are equipped to provide the best possible service to everyone, ensuring their well-being and safety. I must express my concerns about the risks associated with lay people attempting to administer medical aid. First aid training, as it stands, falls short in inadequately preparing individuals for handling medical emergencies. These brief workshops simply cannot instill the necessary knowledge and skills required for complex medical situations. I have personally witnessed instances where individuals with limited medical experience attempted to intervene in medical emergencies and inadvertently made the situation worse. The lack of thorough assessments in first aid training can lead to ill-equipped individuals being granted a false sense of confidence in their abilities. For example, I have recently had the chance to informally observe the CPR assessment of a first aid training workshop. I counted 4 participants who demonstrated inadequate technique, but to my surprise, they all passed. I don't think I need to explain why such lax standards can be detrimental. Speaker C.
Thank you, Bob. I'm Cindy Court and I'm a counsellor. I'm not sure I'm fully on board with either of the previous speakers' opinions, but I can see that there's some truth to both arguments. I think the key to outstanding first aid provision starts with extending the training to include mental health components. Mental well-being concerns are common in various settings, particularly in schools and universities, where individuals often struggle with anxiety or depression. For example, imagine a student at a university who feels anxious about their exams. Having someone skilled in mental well-being first aid could have a profound difference. They would be able to recognise the signs and offer immediate support. This intervention could alleviate distress and prevent the situation from escalating. They could offer similar help to academics facing overwhelming stress or emotional challenges that impact their well-being and performance. By extending the first aid training provision to include mental well-being components, we can equip individuals with the knowledge and skills to be supportive in addressing a wider range of challenges. Such interventions at the early stages can make a significant impact on the well-being of those around us.